Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in hour number 2 of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Notre Dame is ranked 8th in the country after a big blowout victory over Navy. The Fighting Irish are 7-1 on the season. And now joining us is their sophomore running back, Jeremiah Love, who, by the way, has had a touchdown in each and every game this season for the Fighting Irish. He had 2 more to his total this past weekend up against Navy, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Jeremiah, appreciate the time. Congratulations on your success, and how you been?
Thank you. I've been pretty good.
Well, it was an interesting game to start on Saturday, right? You guys take that 14-0 lead, and then Navy, they fight back, and then you really opened up the game with your 64-yard touchdown run to make it 21-7. Just take me through that big touchdown run.
So play was inside zone, and coach is talking throughout, basically throughout the whole first half, you know, trust the run, trust your reads, and they called the play. And the backer came down. He was free for a little bit, so had to like take a little stutter step and, you know, trust that the O-line will work up to him, and they did. And once that happened, you know, right off his butt, shooting to a touchdown.
Yeah, and we know what your speed is like because I know that you also competed in track in high school and you won the Missouri Class 5 state title in the 100 meter with the time of 10.76. I got to ask you, because you make it look just so easy on the football field when you're just so much quicker than everybody else. When was it early on in your life that you realized, wow, I just have an abnormal amount of speed?
I would say it was when I started running track. All my life I've been pretty fast, but like I've never known like I was like exceptionally fast, like faster than other people. So when I first started running track, it was my sophomore year. I was just coming into track, you know, trying to, you know, keep my endurance up for football. And it just happened that I went far in track and ended up winning state my sophomore year. And initially it was just, you know, stay conditioned for football. But doing that and, you know, competing in track, that's when I really found out, you know, that I'm faster than a lot of other people. And, you know, that obviously translates to the football field. But it was my sophomore year. That's when I really found out.
Do you believe you're the fastest player in college football?
Yes. I would say so, yes. If you put me on the line with anybody, I'm going to beat them.
I love that answer. And here's the other thing. You know, I know last year you were listed at 197. Mm-hmm. This year you're listed at 210. So you put on weight, and you still haven't lost any speed. Was that surprising to you when you put on a good amount of weight that you're still as quick as you've been in the past?
Nah, I feel like I'm quicker now. Because I put on just straight muscle. So good weight. And I've only got more powerful, stronger, and faster. So, yeah.
Jeremiah, love with us. I know that in the past you said that growing up, Barry Sanders was really someone that you studied and you watched a lot of highlights. Now, he stopped playing football, and we all know the legendary Barry Sanders in 1998. You were born in 2005. So how and what were the reasons, other than he's just one of the greatest running backs ever, that really drew you to watching a ton of Barry Sanders tape?
It was my dad. And like, he just, you know, like would tell me to watch this person. Like, I don't know like too much about, you know, legends and football and all that type of stuff, but you know, my dad, he used to turn on his highlights to be like, watch him. And he was basically like, kind of, he wants me to be like him, but, shoot, I don't really like emulate my game after anyone, but growing up, like I would watch bits and pieces of, you know, Barry Sanders, and sure, he's a great running back, and like I can kind of see myself, you know, like doing some certain stuff that he did. Like he's very shifty, run through tackles, all of that. But yeah, growing up, it was my dad just like turning on like short highlights of Barry Sanders.
Outside of Barry Sanders, who were some other running backs, you know, maybe that you were able to watch, you know, earlier in your life that you were like, okay, those are some other running backs that you really just liked?
I would say Marshawn Lynch. I watched him, you know, running people.
Beast mode.
But really not anybody else. Like growing up, I wasn't really too big of like a person who like watched football. I just kind of just played it. And like my dad would like turn on highlights for me here and there. And like, I'd be like, oh yeah, those are some great plays they're making. But I didn't really watch anybody other than like, you know, Barry or Marshawn Lynch. Like those are probably the only two people that like highlights that like I would, you know, like pull up on my own and just watch.
So you didn't watch a lot of NFL football growing up. You also didn't know how quick you would be when you were running track back in the day in high school. What really then drew you to football? And when did you start to maybe realize, okay, I got a certain skill set where not only maybe I could go have a decent college career, a good college career, but maybe one day be in the NFL?
It was my dad. He put me in football when I was like 5, 6.
Love that.
And, you know, he just kept, you know, just pushing me to play the sport. And, you know, I love football, and I always like to, you know, play. And I played a bunch of sports. I played basketball and ran track at Little League and all of that. But my dad, he pushed football on me, and I just fell in love with the sport. And I didn't really start thinking about college until, you know, like my junior year of high school. Like up until then, like I was just playing football because I loved it. And, you know, I just wanted to play with my friends and all that type of stuff. And college was something that I like was like introduced to my junior year when I was thinking about, you know, going further with my football career. And that's when I started getting recruited by colleges, going to football camps and all of that. But, you know, growing up, my dad was the one who pushed me to play. And, you know, he just, you know, got me to love the game of football.
I know it's Notre Dame. So, like, when I ask you, why did you go to Notre Dame? The answer pretty much explains itself. But what really drew you, Jeremiah Love, to Notre Dame to make sure that you fell in love with the school and knew that it was the right decision?
My parents pushed Notre Dame from the very start. Whenever I first started getting recruited, my dad was like, have you heard from Notre Dame or stuff like that? At the time, they didn't – Coach McCullough wasn't – I don't think he was a running back coach at that time. So, like, I had to wait a little bit for them to contact me. And once they got in touch, you know, set up visits, and as soon as I came down for my first visit, it was like, school is really nice, small community, shoot, great academics. And my family loved the place, too. So it was just kind of like a combination of all the things I wanted, great sports, great academics, you know, nice people. The people were very welcoming. And, like, the community was small. It's not a party school, nothing like that. So it kind of, you know, gave me everything I wanted out of a college or, like, a place to stay for, like, the next 3 to 4 years.
And we know they produced some really impressive running backs. You got to see firsthand in your freshman season the hard work of Audric Estime. What did you really learn from being in that same meeting room and kind of locker room of one Audric Estime day in and day out last year?
I learned what it takes to, you know, possibly get to the next level. Audric was a very hard worker. He came in every day. He got extra work every day. He came in, just, you know, worked to the best of his ability, and he practiced really hard. One of the things Audric, you know, like told me that I should really focus on doing was getting my weight up. And once my freshman season ended and spring started, that's what I was really focusing on. And it's helped greatly. But what I've took from Audric is that it's going to take a lot of work to get to the next level. And, you know, seeing him come in and work every day, I got a pretty good picture of, you know, what it's going to take for me to, you know, get to the next level and then be successful at the next level as well.
You got your feet wet last year. Now it seems like you're really comfortable in this sophomore season. And not only did you put the work in the offseason off the field, but it's translating how it should be to on-field success. I know it's only 8 games into the season. The next 4 are massive. This team has college football playoff aspirations and then some. But I'm just wondering, so far, how do you evaluate your individual season with what you've been able to prove?
I feel like I've been doing pretty good this season. I don't really think, you know, like too high of myself. I mean, like I'm doing pretty good, you know, scoring touchdowns, doing what I'm supposed to do, doing anything to help the team win. And I feel like, you know, I'm establishing myself as like one of the best running backs in the country, possibly one of the best players in the country. I mean, I believe that, you know, I'm the best of the best. And, you know, as time goes on, people will see that. But, you know, this season, it's been great. I feel like I've been doing pretty good and I'm just going to keep rolling and, you know, keep coming every week and trying to, you know, prove the people who I am and show the world who I am.
I feel like you're just scratching that surface and there's still more that you could do. You talk about being one of the best players in the country. When everything hits right for Jeremiah Love, what does that football player look like at your best?
If everything's hitting right, I would say I'm easily a Heisman candidate. I mean, I feel like I've got everything it takes to, you know, be recognized as, you know, one of the best players, if not the best player in college football. And, you know, as time goes on, I'm going to take advantage of those opportunities and I'm going to prove to people who I am, who I say I am.
Jeremiah Love with us. I got to ask you about the beginning of the season. So you guys made a big statement in a tough place to win up against A&M. And then we know what happened the week later up against NIU. Just wondering, that game, a lot of people thought it would derail the season, break the season. You guys haven't lost since. Why has that been? Why has that loss kind of made you guys dig deeper to then pull off what has been a 6-game winning streak since that loss?
You know, that loss, it really helped us mentally. I would say throughout that game, I mean, I feel like, you know, we were the more talented team. Like we have, you know, better players, but like, I believe that any team can win on any given day. Like if it doesn't matter who you are, if you're coming in and playing to the best of your ability, you may have a chance to win. And in that game, we just didn't play to our standard and they play an A-plus game for them. You know, as far as how we move forward after that loss, you know, we just came in every week, not underestimating, you know, any team we played against, and trying to, you know, focus more on ourselves and not look on to the other team. Cause, you know, it all starts within. And if we make sure that we're playing to the best of our abilities and, you know, playing to the Notre Dame standard, then I don't think there's anybody in the country that can beat us. I mean, we're just focusing on getting better every week. And I feel like that's really shown itself. Like, and you can look at all the positions all over the field and, you know, look at the team as a whole and you can really see how, you know, we've grown as a team and, you know, grown as like position groups throughout week after week. And, you know, that loss really contributed to our, you know, mental and never underestimating, you know, any team we play against, but, you know, just focusing on ourselves and trying to, you know, play to the Notre Dame standard, which we want to play to the Notre Dame standard.
And the neat part is not only did you guys as players show that resiliency, but you really responded to the coaching from Marcus Freeman, the head honcho at Notre Dame. But what do you want to say about your head football coach and Marcus Freeman and what he does for this football team?
First off, he's a great leader. He's a great person. You know, he tries to, you know, just get everybody to come together and to, you know, strive to achieve team glory. That's something he says a lot, you know, team glory. As long as we are, you know, like focusing, blocking out the noise and, you know, just trying to get better every week and, you know, trusting our guys, like, will the team cheat team glory? But, you know, Coach Free, like I say, he's a great person. Sometimes he doesn't even feel like he's, you know, he's a head coach. He's like such a down to earth person. But, you know, he is the leader of our program, and everybody on his team respects him. And, you know, I look up to him and, you know, hopefully, you know, we as players can continue to play play up to the, you know, Notre Dame standard and, you know, achieve an outcome that, you know, this program hasn't, you know, seen in a little while. So
Last year, your quarterback was Sam Hartman. You know, another transfer in this year, it's Riley Leonard coming over from Duke. How has your relationship grown from the offseason to now where you guys are sitting at 7-1 with your quarterback?
Riley's cool. You know, as weeks go on, you know, I get to know more about Riley, get to see more of him. And, he's really grown, you know, throughout this whole season. You know, as you know, we lost early on in the season. Everybody, you know how the media gets, you know, saying all types of bad stuff. But, you know, Riley has, he's improved every single week, and he's continuing to show people, you know, that he's Riley Leonard. Like, Riley's just been improving. My relationship with him, and you know, everybody's relationship with him, I believe, has, you know, been growing for the better, you know, week after week. And he just comes in every day and grinds, and everybody sees that. Everybody respects Riley. And
Well, you guys could run the football pretty damn well together, and you complement each other nicely. I'm just curious, you know, when you get into the huddle and right, he's in command of the huddle. Like, what type of quarterback do you think you have when you get on that battlefield and you go to battle with Riley Leonard as your QB?
Shoot, first off, I have a quarterback that I can trust, you know, to make the right reads. A quarterback that can really do it all. He can run, he can pass, make great, smart decisions. You know, going into the huddle, like, have the everybody has, you know, utmost, you know, faith in that Riley will, you know, help this team, you know, achieve team glory.
Well, enjoy the bye week. Appreciate learning more about you today and seeing your growth from last year to this year. And we appreciate you stopping on by for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.